Privilege and joy to be back here, as I mentioned, in Sunday school. Been way too long, but I'm thankful for this fact. You're still faithful. You're still keeping on, keeping on. A lot of churches compromise today and go very far from biblical representation, and I'm just thankful you folks are staying by the stuff, seeking to do that which glorifies and honors God. I was telling, it's Leah, right? Leah, you the one who just played? Leah, I got that right? Okay, I don't want to make the mistake here. I said, you know, it takes very special wiring in a person's brain to be able to play and sing at the same time. You know, some folks can't chew gum, walk at the same time. And I said, that's just what I've heard and all the, you know, it's on the internet, so you know it's got to be true. And I said, we're kind of special people, I guess, to do that. She says, we're just cool. I kind of agree with that. I like her simplicity of philosophy and presentation of truth, but that was a blessing. I appreciate it. I love that song. I just hadn't heard that for a long time. Are you prayed up? Are you excited? Are you anticipating God's work in our midst? I don't bring it, folks, in a suitcase or in a bottle or in a package. That all comes from the Lord. But if we'll yield to Him, we'll seek His face, He won't disappoint us. He'll bring forth a blessed work in our midst. And folks, just again, bring forth His working like He's longing to bring forth His working. I've been spoiled in the past couple weeks. I've seen several folks come to know Jesus as Savior. Last Monday night, we had a special men's meeting at a church up in Anderson, South Carolina. And this guy was invited by a member of the church, and a guy in his 20s was just gloriously born again. You know, he grew up with it. He knew all the facts and figures, but didn't know how to make it personal. And he was gloriously born again. Then the week before that, I was up in Indiana, actually in Newcastle, Indiana, and I preached to 70 teenagers. Can I have an oh my, please, from the crowd? I mean, it was a room. It was like preaching to them in a large closet. And they were rough and tumble kids, bust in from here, there, and yonder. but 10 of those that I know of accepted Christ as their Savior during that short time together. God's still in the saving business, and God's still looking to change lives for all eternity. We just need to be smart enough to hop on board, don't we? Whether it's the need of salvation, whether it's being more like Christ, again, more prepared to do His bidding. Folks, just buy up what God's selling. It's the best. The devil's lying to you. His package is a bunch of empty bling bling. But God is the real deal, and He wants to pour out that blessed work in our hearts, our lives, even here this morning. My wife sends her greetings. My wife has some physical ailments. She doesn't travel with me as much as she used to, but she always appreciated the time she was able to be here at this church. But pray for her. She's back taking care of those 8 grandkids I bragged on last service in our Sunday school time. I want to share again a bit of what happened here with my dad. My dad passed away about 2.5 years ago. And folks, we had a celebration of celebration as far as the funeral. I want to tell you about that here, and then we'll lead into our message. Again, folks, you look awful sad. You know, for nothing else, you should be excited. We're eating here in a few minutes. Y'all with me? We don't have to beat the Presbyterians to the restaurant or anything. So, you know, folks, if there's joy in your heart, encourage the speaker. Let it somewhere come up on your face, okay? And let's have a word of prayer to seek that endeavor of faithful representation. Then we'll look at the challenge this morning. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in Your goodness here today. We thank You, God, for how good You are to us all the time. God, help us to, again, realize there's more goodness to be found, more goodness to be received from on high. And God, help us to be on the edge of our seats as such, ready to receive Your will, Your working this hour. Lord, as I mentioned, if there's someone here that needs to get saved, God, please save their soul. It was so exciting to see that young man saved last week. I'd be just as excited to see some person saved here this hour. But Lord, more than likely, I'm preaching mostly to folks who know You. And Lord, who are seeking hopefully to know You better. Because Lord, if we know You better, we can be more like You. And if we're more like You, we can do more for You. In the midst of that, we can bring more glory and honor to Your name. So Lord, teach us, instruct us from on high. Help us, God, to be convicted from head to toe. But Lord, help us to be tender enough and immediate in our response, even on the invitation, to respond to Your working here this hour. Don't let us just play church. Don't let us just go through religious motions of Sunday activity. God, help us to be fed, and again, well fed with the truths of the Word of God, and then smart enough, Lord, to be doers of these blessed truths. So thank You, Lord, and praise You for Your goodness. Help us now as we look into Your Word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know if you remember much about my testimony or my family, but I'm the quietest one in my family. Does that scare you people that know me real well? My dear old dad was rather overweight. He was in his 80s and had trouble functioning with the normal things of life. But my dad and mom and this couple met together every year to celebrate my dad's knowing Jesus as personal Savior. Let me tell you about this guy. We were in a Methodist church. This guy was a manager of a big wire plant company in Muncie, Indiana. And this friend of my dad got my dad's face one day and said, Bobby, my dad was a car dealer, okay? So, I mean, how can you be a car dealer without the name Bobby Baby? And that was my dear old dad. He said, now, Bobby, you know what? You can go to hell for all eternity. God gives you that free will choice. But you know, even sad upon sad is those 5 children of yours are going to follow you straight into hell. Folks, this wasn't a Baptist church. This was a Methodist church. They don't hear that a whole lot. And it shook my dad's tree. I mean, it rattled his cage. And what my dad did, he went to prove this guy to be wrong. Well, you know, that's the right way to go, but the wrong thought as far as, hey, I can kind of learn that this is a bunch of hooey. No, you seek Him, what, folks? You'll find Him. And my dad, at the age of 42, knelt down in our family room, cussing crooked, cheating car dealer, and was gloriously, biblically born again. And my dad started reading the Word of God. Go figure. Can you imagine a Christian reading the Bible? And my dad started growing. We got kicked out of the Methodist church. We ended up in a fundamental Bible-believing church. But what happened, folks? This couple, my dad and this couple, they met every year as God allowed. Well, they got to the restaurant, and my dad had to walk too far in his out-of-shape body, and ended up dying right there in the restaurant. Just boom, fell out of his seat, went home to be with Jesus. Well, we had the funeral not long after that, like you do, and it was a shouting time, I'm telling you what. Now, I didn't preach my dad's funeral. I would have, but my older brother got that opportunity, and he did a phenomenal job, even though he's just a faithful layman for the cause of Christ. Then Dr. Collins Glenn, our former pastor and the new pastor of this church, Rory Bond, they did the official preaching, but I led the music. Now, you folks know I love music, and I led music up at Northland for over 12 years, and I don't read music, I just let her fly. And I started, what song would you sing at a funeral with a guy who's been faithful? Here you go. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Finish it with me, folks. Since Jesus came into my heart. Well, after the first verse, I stopped it. I said, people, you're singing this like this is some sad time. This is a celebration. Dad's absent from the body, present with the Lord. Woo-hoo, God is so good. There were about 400 people at that funeral, and they about knocked the back wall out of that auditorium. On that second verse, man, they just let her fly from toenail to the top of their head, and it was one amazing funeral time. You know what I heard, though, in the midst of the visitation? Now, folks, listen. Over and over again. I knew my dad was a soul winner. I knew my dad's been faithful, but I didn't realize the extent. It seemed like there were countless people coming to me saying, your dad led me to Jesus. Your dad led me to Jesus. Your dad was used of God to rescue our marriage. Your dad was used in Sunday school class to call me to preach. I mean, it just went over and over and over and over and over again. And folks, I just was crying. I was just rejoicing. But you know what he had? Something a lot of people don't have because they choose not to, a faithful testimony. You know, not perfect, but just choosing to do what God saved and called a Christian to do. Now, my question for you as we start this revival campaign together, where are you? What will be said of you at your funeral? You know, I've been places where they make stuff up, haven't you? You know, have you ever been to a funeral? You know, you're sitting there and the guy was a loser or she was not real faithful. And they say, oh, he was a godly man. He was faithful to our community. I thought I was in the wrong room. Have you been there before? Because that guy was a rascal. He was a low rent deal. But they had to make up something good because he didn't do right. Boy, I don't want that to be me. Do you want that to be you? What statement defines you in your walk before Jesus Christ in this lost and dying world? Let me give you some folks you don't want tagged on your life as far as statements are concerned. Get a load of this. Don't go here. Don't do this. It doesn't matter what I do. Is that a truth or is that a lie, people? That's a lie. You're just as important to the work of God as anybody else. And see, you want that excuse statement to be your motivator so you don't have to be motivated unto faithfulness. You are saved and called with a holy calling. And what you do and what you don't do does matter for the will and working of God. How about this one? I'm going to do what makes me happy. You know, I counseled this gal for several years who had three children with three different men and wasn't married to any of them. But I had one top that last week. Had a lady that came to a specific meeting we had. She has seven children from different men, and I'm not sure how many of those she was married to. And you know what the bottom line statement was of this lady? Well, I believe God just wants me to be happy. You know what, folks? That's not biblical. He wants you to be holy. And when you go the direction of holiness, that's and that only is when you'll have true happiness, or what we again dub as true joy. It's not when your mind and heart are in your flesh or your mind and heart are in the world. No, read Philippians chapter 4. Peace and joy and contentment come only one way, when the heart and mind are in Christ. Happiness is not the bottom line. Holiness, seek God first, then everything falls right into place like it's supposed to. How about this statement? If it makes me successful or it makes me popular, that's what I will do. Folks, do you know how many people, Christians, who have ruined their ministry, messed up their family because of this success venture, where they get a job at some place where there's no Bible preaching church, where they compromise on their stance all in the name of popularity or success? Happens with teenagers all the time, doesn't it? Because you want them to like you instead of being pleasing in God's sight, you wonder why your testimony goes down the tubes. How about this? And this is probably the saddest and most popular choice. I'm going to do what I want to do. Folks, that's a horrible, foolish, flesh-driven choice. Folks, it's still true. We're not here for us. We're here all the time and all things for Jesus Christ. What statement defines you? You know, you can sum up a life with just a word. How about these contrasting testimonies? Winner or loser? What's a winner? A winner's a person who lives by faith, faith that comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What's a loser? A person who doesn't do that, who doesn't follow the Word of God. You choose to be a loser. Are you wise or a fool? Worldly or spiritual? Faithful or unfaithful? The saddest contrasting two words, saved or are you lost? How are you known to be, or how will you be remembered? Because, folks, we all have a choice. And listen to this. That choice will write on your life the statement that defines you. Now, some of you know me real well, and I'm just getting to know some of the other folks here. But if you know me, you know what I want to be remembered as. I play guitar, I sing, I do a lot of preaching around the globe, but I don't care about that as much as this. You know what I want on my tombstone? You ready for this? A faithful servant of God, period. I won't be a gap filler. I won't be one of those people hearing my Lord send me. I don't care what the job is. I don't care what the ministry is. I just want to be found faithful and hopefully live up to my life verse. My life verse is 1 Corinthians 10:31. You know it well. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do what, folks? All, that was real, you're kind of quiet. You guys are kind of stealthy this morning. Let's say the whole verse together, okay? So whether therefore you eat or, I forgot, I had a senior moment there for a moment. My brain went into brain freeze. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. Is that you? If not, it's supposed to be. You know, as we look through Scripture, you know, each winner has a statement that defines them in their ministry presentation. Let me do a little quiz here for you. Who's this guy? I mean, what was his statement? What about Daniel? What was Daniel's statement that directed his whole ministry endeavor from start to the end? Remember, he's with the Chaldeans being brainwashed, and he says, not going to go there and do that. What was Daniel's statement? Daniel purposed in his heart, finish it, folks, that he would not defile himself. Boom. That's a statement that not only gives him a good statement of testimony, but a good testimony of consistency. How about this one? Joshua, you got this on your front door somewhere in your house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me give you a harder one. How about the Apostle Paul? What statement really nails it down as far as his whole ministry is concerned? Now, he wrote most of the New Testament, so it's a lot to choose from. But I think this sums it up. For me to live is Christ. Boom, folks. It doesn't get any more direct than that. Now, let me give you the hardest one of the whole quiz here. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? Everything he says is perfect. But what really sums up the statement that would define his approach to the will of God? Well, you know the statement, not my will, but what, folks? Thy will be done. What does that scream without question loud and clear? A testimony of selfless, sacrificial servant of God. What is that again? Selfless, sacrificial servant of God. Say it with Mr. Rogers, would you please? Selfless, sacrificial servant of God. Wow me, folks. Give me more volume. Selfless, sacrificial servant of God. Now, folks, I think I got this figured out. We're here to be like Jesus, and if we don't measure up to that kind of presentation, that kind of statement that defines us, we're not right with God. And God wants to fix that sooner than later. But just like winners have statements that define them, so do losers. How many of you in this room have a child by the name of Demas? You have a dog you don't like named Demas? A neighbor you can't stand? You know, why don't we name our kids Demas? We got John, Paul, you know, Peter and all those. Because we don't think of Demas as faithful like he's recorded in Colossians chapter 4. What statement do we remember Demas and again his testimony to be? Demas hath, what's the problem? Same one we're facing every day. Demas hath forsaken me. What was his choice? Having loved this present world. You don't think that's a big problem, but it's going to take you in a deeper hole than you could ever imagine. And could take you away further from faithfulness to God than you ever thought would be a part of your testimony before God and man. God wants you and me to establish and strengthen our resolve of decision that will define us without question as a selfless, sacrificial servant of God. How you do that? Well, that's where we're going this morning. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, would you please? I love preaching from Ephesians. I love preaching from Colossians. You'll hear some from Colossians even here this week. Parallel passages. And again, go to Ephesians if I can find it myself. And go down with me to chapter 5. I'm going to give you four things this morning, then we'll go eat some vittles here together. But four things that will help you again have the testimony that rightly represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the first one found down in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers. That's the word to again underline or underscore. It says, be ye therefore followers of God. How? As dear children. Folks, do you realize the word follower literally means imitator? An imitator of God. That's the one that people should see in how we walk, how we talk, our attitude, our actions. They should see pouring from our lives a representation of who God truly is. Now, folks, you know I travel for a living. I'm here, there, and yonder. I can't hold a job. I'm somewhere different every week. But, you know, I love sitting around an airport watching people. You know, It scares me when I go to Walmart, but, you know, in the airport, you know the scariest Walmart I've ever been to is in Flint, Michigan? They must have drunk the water. That's the only thing I'm considering here, because some of the scariest people, don't go there after 9 to 10 o'clock. It'll just make you have nightmares. But I love watching these children imitate their parents, you know, walking through an airport or some big busy area, and you know, they try to mimic them. They're in adoration, they're in awe of mom and dad at that point until they become a teenager, of course. But what happened, folks, they're again looking with affection, looking with, I want to be like them. That's the way we're supposed to approach our God. You should be in awe of your God. You should so desire to be like your Heavenly Father. Now, why aren't most people like God? Now, I may fall off these steps. I am older. I'm losing my balance as it happens. But folks, what would happen if I bring this guy up right here, who is the protector of his family? I've learned this. He's kind of the all-powerful one as far as, again, helping this family function in a proper way. Dad, used to be your job. Wimp, wimp, wimpy. Man of the house right here. Well, what happens, I'm going to bring him up. Never let me know you or talk with you, because this happens all the time. Okay. But what he's going to do, he's going to come up here because I think he can handle this. I'm going to have him come up and imitate my best friend growing up in high school. Okay, I'm going to have you do that. So just hold on, you're too eager here. He's already, I can do this. Huh? Are you a homeschooler? No. You at the Christian school? You in public school? Well, no wonder you're so rough and tumble. Okay. Oh, got to go and fight every day. It's harder in a Christian school, trust me. Well, what happened is this. He's going to come up here, and he's going to this guy named Dwayne James. Just saw him at a funeral service here a few weeks ago, just a fun time of fellowship. But let me ask you a question. Can he do that? Why can't he? Talk to me. He doesn't know him. Now, he was a lefty. You know, I used to tease him all the time. He was so knock-kneed and pigeon-toed, we didn't know if he was coming or going most of the time. And this guy had an amazing three-point shot, and he always had his back end across the half, three-second line, or, you know, way back there when he's shooting a three-pointer. But this guy, I can just mimic him. I can even talk like the guy, but he can't do it because he doesn't know him. I got a thought. Maybe the reason you're not like our Heavenly Father, you're not godly in your presentation daily. You have a statement that defines you contrary to what a Christian's supposed to be. I got the thought. Maybe it's because you don't know him yet. And you've yet to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. That's why you're a yes, dear husband. Are we going to church this morning? Come on, get ready. We're going to church. Oh, you have a happy marriage, don't you? And you know, and you go,
yes, dear.
And you just kind of whimper and complain and growl. And you're here out of protest. The only reason you came because the food we're about to eat. But you know what? You don't have a godly presentation because you still don't know my God. And until you know my God as personal Savior through Jesus, there's no way, no how you can be like Him. You don't have the wherewithal. Your flesh will abound and control who and what you are. But if you're truly saved, have you lost the awe or the wow of the wonder of it all? Who your God is, that He's again the goal, the objective as far as your Christian life, and landing there to be like Him, to represent the cause of Jesus Christ. The first thing, folks, that's very obvious as far as this instruction is concerned, you got to make a right choice to be a follower or an imitator of God. Now, you know, in preaching today, there are a lot of wimps out there not preaching the Word of God. One of the biggest flaws, now this may hurt some of you, he's got nice teeth, nice hair, but you know, Joel Osteen is a wolf in sheep clothing. Do y'all folks understand that? That may rattle your little church-going observational TV viewing, but this guy's a charlatan. This guy uses the things of Jesus to do his own carnal, fleshly directed thing. That guy's pretty obvious, but folks, there are a lot of folks out there to deceive you. And a lot of guys aren't preaching the whole counsel of God, and dreaded be the thought, preach confrontationally. You know, that's not real popular either today, but it's needed and should be done. But God says go and God says woe. He says in verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to a sweet smelling savor. And then God says, here's what I don't want you to be. Here's what I don't want you, where I don't want you to go. And folks, you need the negative and the positive to again balance it out a right Christian testimony and representation. But folks, first of all, you've got to understand you're here to be like Christ. And what will that bring you to? A testimony of a selfless, sacrificial servant of God. Did you forget those words? Should we do it again? What are they again? A selfless, sacrificial servant of God. Let me go to point number two. Secondly, find out what pleases Him. Folks, find out what pleases Him. Look down with me at verse 2. Very simple word, proving, find out, what is acceptable unto the Lord. Same type of thought in verse 17. It says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I don't know how many of you are in a secular position. Maybe some of you in the military were pretty close by that facility. But how long would you have your job? How quickly would you end up in the brig if you didn't care what your boss said? Or your authority? Folks, we're not going to some place of employment to do our tra-la-la, feed my flesh thing. But folks, you're not here to do that in your relationship with Jesus. You're here to check in and check it out with the boss continually. That's why he says in the Word of God, in all your ways acknowledge me. Why? Because he can direct your path. He knows where you need to go. He knows what needs to be done. But if you're self-driven, self-consumed, self-controlled, you're not going to have a testimony of faithfulness or anything close to Christ-likeness. Folks, find out what he says. He's trying to show you through the Word of God, but because of your pride, because of your wicked heart, you're not even listening to what God's trying to tell you through the blessed Word of God. Oh, I am too. No, you're not. You don't even do devotions, let alone studying to show yourselves approved unto God. You're still counting on your fire insurance and you think that's okay. There's a lot more than just getting saved people for the Christian life. You're here to daily learn more of Jesus, to be more like Jesus, to do more for Jesus. Not too hard of an equation. But if you're looking to you instead of Him, it's no big deal. I don't really care. That shows something's messed up in your relationship with Jesus. So first of all, on purpose, choose to be a follower of God. Imitate Him. Make sure that's what you're showing through your life. Secondly, find out what that might be. Find out what pleases Him and then kick it into high gear and be faithful till Jesus takes you home. And number three, be a faithful steward of your time. You know what, people? I've done a lot of wonderful things. I've been spoiled as a believer in Christ Jesus, a minister of God. But I got one frustration, one major regret. Now, some of you young people can fix this. Look at Mr. Maynard. You kids, look at Mr. Maynard. You know what my frustration is? Wasting my life on things that really don't matter. You hear me, Instagram? Do you hear me, Miss Facebook? You know, Miss Twitter? You know, what a name to have. You know what? That stuff really doesn't matter in comparison to what God has ordered up. And we got to be smart enough to redeem the time. Be a good steward of what God has entrusted us, because, folks, whatever turn we take, whatever choice we make, it should be productive. It should be pleasing. It should be a presentation that screams loud and clear, selfless, sacrificial servant of God. So redeem the time. I mentioned Colossians. Hold your place here in chapter 5 and just flip over a few pages to Colossians chapter 4. The same type of statement is set forth here. Paul says, help me. Pray for me that I'll speak as I ought to speak. I'll get the ministry done like I'm supposed to. But he goes on in this passage to say in chapter 4, of Colossians, again, I turned too many pages. He says here, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, what precedes that, verse 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Folks, we've only got 24 hours in our choice process to be faithful. So let's again buy up every moment of every opportunity so we can be again fulfilled in faithfulness to what God would have us to be faithful unto. Go back to chapter 5 and I'll close this out pretty quick. This is probably the hardest part and really the factor of choice that'll make everything go the right direction. The last thing is this, be filled or controlled by God. Be filled or controlled by God. It says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled. Of course, the word means controlled with the Spirit. You know, folks, how foolish are we to not let a perfect God who knows the beginning from the end, who knows everything, wants to bring what's needed and best for us, to bring completeness, fulfillment to our lives. How foolish is it to listen to us or anybody else instead of listening to God? Isn't that about the dumbest thing you can do?
Well, you don't understand. I got a pretty good handle on this life and what needs to be done.
Yeah, but you still really don't have a clue. You really don't. The only reason you think you do is because you're so full of yourself and you got a major big-time pride problem, if you're saved at all. But folks, when you get saved and God turns on the light of understanding of who He is compared to who you are not, you know what? You won't want to take a breath or a step without checking in with God to make sure you're going the right direction, to do what's needed and best for you, but most importantly, what's pleasing and honoring unto Him. And that's always the right and the best choice. And be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then it goes on to say, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it talks about that submission stuff. Then about wives, again, being that biblical, God-honoring wife with a submissive spirit. Then husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Children, obey your parents. The list goes on, doesn't it? But it starts with letting God run the life that belongs to Him. Oh, people, you're bought with a price. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. How dare we take charge of something that doesn't belong to us? How dare us and how foolish are we to ignore the Creator of all who died to pay our sin debt and now who lives at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us on the clock, people, 24/7 to guide us, direct us, mold us, and make us all again to bring what's needed and best for our lives. But folks, to equip us and prepare us to do the work in a Christ-like, God-honoring fashion, to come up with what kind of statement? A statement, people, that defines you and defines me as a selfless, sacrificial servant of God. Would you say it one more time with me? A selfless, sacrificial servant. Okay, let's have a little testimony time. Let's have the children of the church. This would be more honest and probably a true representation. I'm going to have the children stand up and tell about dear old dad. You know how dad is not in church. Oh, man, he looks good in the neighborhood. I mean, he's purtied up. He's fluffed and puffed. He shaved today. Oh, what a shock to the family. And as he comes to church today, they're going to give a testimony on how dad is truly. Whether dad has a statement that defines him as a winner or loser, faithful or unfaithful. And then we're going to get around to mom. And we're going to tell how meek and mild and Proverbs 31, that mother really is at home. She never raises her boy. She leads with godliness and such a sweet spirit. And then we'll get around to the kids. And boy, do we have a lot to say about their choices of life. Folks, I don't care if you're the dad. I don't care if you're the mom or the child. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, there's only one right choice. There's only one statement that should define your testimony and life that belongs to Jesus. And if it's not there, it's broken, and God wants to fix it this morning, whether it's through salvation. You know, you're trying so hard to be Christ-like when you don't have the wherewithal. You're lost. Will you admit that you need Jesus? Will you humble yourself before a holy God and receive the greatest gift ever offered to man, the gift of eternal life that only comes one way, and it's not through you? It comes by admitting you're a sinner, asking Jesus to forgive your sin and come into your heart and save you. You need to get saved, and you know it. Would you come this morning and know my Jesus as your personal Savior? Christian, what statement defines you? If it's not selfless, sacrificial, servant of God, God wants you to commit to that statement that will represent the Lord Jesus Christ, your testimony, so when you get in the face of Jesus, He can say to you, good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant of God. Now, folks, look at me. My dad wasn't perfect. My dad was something that most Christians never, ever end up being and doing. He was a faithful servant of God. And that's all God's asking of you. Make a choice to put Him first, keep Him first, and rightly represent Jesus. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please?